Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm kind of... what T.A. talked about the teaching and about being fearful as Christians, it's sort of like confirmation of what God's been placing in my heart about us as Christians and today. One of the things that I've been talking with some of my co-workers, especially this one in particular, of how fearful she is. You know, how many of y'all are afraid now to go to the Dominican Republic? How many of y'all fearful about that? How many of y'all? Come on now. Come on. If you had a chance to go, would you? Huh? You did say what? You don't fly. You got a fear of flying. Okay. How many of y'all got a fear of something happening to you somewhere or another in this world? Yeah. We have that, don't you? T.A. was talking about the illustration about the dream he had about some man, because he's walking down the street, feared him. And I've talked to a lot of people, say they're believers today, and we are some of the most fearful people today. We fearing the terrorists. Wow. We fearing driving a car, road rage. Right. Come on now, what are some of the things y'all fear? We fear if we're going to get put out of our house and where we're going to live at. We have so many fears today. Definitely. As believers. We're afraid to almost say hi to our neighbors, aren't we? Let alone talk to them about the Lord. See, he opened up that door for my message. Yeah, because if you look at, I guess God was in agreement on what we're going to talk about. Let me go back. And again, last time I was up here, I talked about what is a dangerous Christian. And today I'm going to talk about why a real Christian is dangerous. If you look at Acts 17, verses 5 and 6. I'm sorry, I'm going to go through 1 through 6.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field
which the Lord God had made.
He said to the woman,
wait a minute.
God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Y'all have to hold on.
And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree.
Okay. Yeah. And scriptures, Acts 17, 1 through 6 says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this is Jesus whom I preach to you. This is Jesus to whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of their brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these have turned the world upside down, have come here too. And again, if we go back and look at what the scripture is saying, Paul and Silas went to this place of Thessalonica, and they preach. They preach the gospel about Jesus. Right. And again, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be out preaching the gospel. We're supposed to be living for Christ. And what happened as a result of them doing that?
Assaulted.
First thing was the folks got saved, right? Folks got saved. And the second thing was, which many of us fear, is there were some Jews who didn't like what they were saying, grabbed the mob and said, "We got to get a hold of them folks. They are preaching something contrary to our beliefs." And so they gathered this mob and went to Jason's house, where Paul and Silas had been staying, and they asked them where they're at. What did it say? "They're not here." And as a result of that, they took Jason and this other man and took them in and made question them. And the accusation was, "These are they. They have turned the world upside down." That's who we are. We turn the world upside down. Now, we're thinking the world turns us upside down, but we're dangerous because we turn the world upside down.
Say it, man. We should be.
You know, last time I preached, I tried to give you an understanding of what a dangerous Christian is. And they're just what Paul and Silas were. We're believers in Christ. That's what a dangerous Christian. You are a believer in Christ. That makes you dangerous. And because we're believing in Christ, we do what Paul and Silas. We freely, and should be freely sharing the gospel. And you see what happened as a result of that? That makes some people afraid. Some people get afraid when you share that message with them. Especially if you talk to a Muslim, or a Jew, or a person who's agnostic, they are afraid of you. They become upset with you. They fear you're saying something that is contrary to their belief, and they become upset.
Say it, man.
And then again, as a dangerous believer, you don't have to worry about circumstances. Paul and Silas had been in plenty of these kind of circumstances because they ran. The reason they was in Thessalonica, because where they was at before, they had preached that message, them folks got upset. So when you're preaching Christ, you're going to make some enemies. You're going to have some people to get upset. But thank God, as I said, you were doing it because you're trying to build up the body of Christ. You're trying to grow the church. This church ain't going to grow. This body ain't going to go till we decide that we're dangerous enough to go out there and talk to these folks in this complex.
Say that, man.
See, we shouldn't be afraid of them. Don't you know? They are afraid of us, if we understand. But Satan has got us hoodwinked. Satan got us hoodwinked so bad that we won't even say hi to a neighbor, let alone try to talk to them about Jesus. And you know, on my job and just most jobs, people don't say anything about Jesus, right?
Right.
Why? Because they say, it's not allowed. It's not allowed for you to share your faith. Wait a minute. I ain't never seen no law against sharing your faith. People say, well, that's company policy. Well, wait a minute. Company policy, a lot of companies are turning that around. They now embrace you sharing your faith. They even have prayer rooms and places where you can talk. They ain't got a problem with that. The person that has a problem is us. In all the years, I've been working in government, I've worked in business, and I've worked in the private sector. I've never been afraid to share the gospel once. Because when somebody, like I had some people talking about messing around, a private man messing around, committing adultery. I had to tell him. And he was bragging about it. He said, I had to tell him, no, I don't believe in that. Because the word of God says that's not the way. I didn't get angry with him. I just told him that ain't me. That ain't my belief. That's what we do. We become dangerous because that's planting an idea that others can grasp. You know, when we're having these conversations, guess what? We don't want to hear it. Those co-workers are hearing it. They are going to be changed, and that makes you dangerous. That's been the enemy for so long, was trying to shut you down on the job, for so often trying to shut you down where you go, because he don't want the word to get out.
Absolutely.
Because somebody's gonna, life's going to get changed. Somebody's going to get saved. You know, that's what makes us dangerous. Like I say, we turn the world upside down. We used to. I shouldn't say we turn it upside down. We used to. We used to be the ones to go out here and turn what I mean, when the church was that place where even people who were drunk and had all these had bad attitudes, that knew they went around bad. But it was something about that church. They wouldn't go into a church. An unbeliever. There were some of the worst people. They would not go into the church. And now what happens? Y'all hear people going into church with guns, right? They're going to church with guns because they're not afraid of the church. The people in the church. Why? Because there's nothing to fear, because ain't no spirit of God up in there. There's a bunch of folks holding a social meeting, as far as they're concerned, because that's where we treat it. I know y'all might be not like what's being said, but that's why the church is no power, because the church is a social group. A bunch of people meeting like any other folks. But we should be different. There should be something different about us. And that's why we spend the time teaching y'all about the Bible now.
That's
how
right.
to study y'all Bible.
Right.
Because as T.A. said, that's your sword. You're supposed to be equipped to use it. But how are you going to use something you don't even know what it is? I mean, do you know where the handle is? Do you know what the blade is? Do you know how to do some cut? It takes time to do that. And that's why we sit back and say, we got to go back to teaching y'all to use a sword. Because if you're going to be dangerous, that means you got a dangerous weapon.
Amen.
And what's that dangerous? It's your sword.
Amen.
And now and then, but we say we got a weapon of defense too. We got a shield.
Amen.
Don't y'all know we Christians? Paul lays it out to how we supposed to be as soldiers equipped. We got a whole, I dare y'all go read. What is it? Ephesians 6.
Yes, sir.
Read about your equipment. Read about who you are as Christian and what you have to battle this battle. Because it says we wrestle not what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spirit of this world. See, because you know what we're doing is as dangerous Christians. We know our mission is what? What did Jesus leave us to do? What was the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28. 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. See, Jesus said, He didn't leave us here just to be getting saved. See, many of me, that's the be all and end all of salvation. Oh, I'm saved, so that's it.
No.
No. Jesus said, I didn't save you just to be saved.
Right.
I saved you so you could work on my team. You on God's team. And as such, what? Who are you fighting with? Satan. You're fighting now against Satan. You're turning people to God and away from Satan. That's what makes you dangerous.
That's why I say it, man.
You're dangerous.
We are.
You are dangerous. I shouldn't say you, but we are dangerous.
Well,
you know, that's why I look at myself all the time when I think about it. I say, I'm dangerous. I'm sorry. But I say dynamite. And when I look at somebody, I don't worry about where I'm at. See, I go through Oakland. I used to live in Oakland. And when I forgot 1980s, ooh, lived up in Oakland. When you heard about Oakland, East Palo Alto, Menlo Park, Richmond, all them places, we was afraid. People was afraid. Black folks were afraid. You know, white folks and all the people who were not black, they were surely afraid. Because I know I worked in this plant, and I was working on swing shift. I was going there at 4 and getting off at 12, 30, 1 o'clock. And I had a job where I thought, as a black man, I'm supposed to dress up, suit and boot. I'm a quality control manager. And so I'm wearing my shirt and tie and everything. Got my briefcase because I got to carry my papers. And I'm walking down the street, 12 o'clock at night. Down 98th Avenue from San Leandro,
oh my God.
All the way to East 14th to catch the boat on East 14th. So if y'all don't know what that's like, I mean, when, after, you know, during that time at night, Monday through Sunday, at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night, you ran into all the folks that ain't right.
You glad you didn't get
Woo! And see, that's why I was praying. I remember God, David said, yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow if I'm feeling. That's what I would quote to encourage myself. Because I know what I'm like people. See, I know the realities. I know what this is like. This black man walking down 98th in the middle of the most dangerous part of Oakland.
I know. It is. Were you suited?
Suited and booted.
You didn't get jacked?
And I did not get jacked.
Oh my God.
I did that for about 8 months. I didn't have a car, so I had to take the bus. You didn't get an accident. but see, I had that kind of spirit. And see, where I lived at, it was just as bad. I lived at 83rd and East 14th. And one of them little houses, no lawn, no bars, no gate on the front or back. And it was one of those things, if you shake one of them, you know how them door windows, you use a wooden window with that little latch, with they had a little latch on it. Just take a little knife, go open up. You can come into my house. And everybody kept saying, ain't you afraid? And I think I might have to, but I told him no. Because David said in Psalms 127, except the Lord build a house, you labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watch him. So God is telling me that he's protecting me. That's what makes me dangerous. I can be in the midst of all that and yet stand not afraid, because I figure they don't need to be worried. I don't need to be worried about them. They need to be worried about me, because God says, I'm his anointing. You don't mess with me.
That's right.
See, that's what makes us different. Oh, thank you, T.A. And see, that's why. Again, it says, we cannot be stopped, we cannot be hindered. That's why I don't think anybody can stand in my way. Nobody can stop us.
That's right.
You know, one of the great things I remember about the 60s was the Civil Rights Movement. And some of you, a lot of us probably remember that, or some of them.
I remember it well, all the riots.
And here it is, this black preacher coming, saying, we ain't going to use no weapons. We just going to lay down if they want to beat us, shoot us, whatever. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be here. They were walking across the bridges, and the police lined up to say, no, you're not coming through. They put out fire hoses, bombed churches. But God, Martin Luther King gave us the fear, took the fear away, and said, we can't let that hinder us. Because why? We got God on our side. And we used to say, we shall overcome. We shall overcome because God said we're his people, and we shall overcome. That's That's when you shouldn't be afraid of losing your life.
That's right.
A lot of us won't go there because we're afraid of losing our life. What does it mean if you lose your life? What does it mean if you lose your life? What are you going to gain if you die on this side of life? If you perish on this side of life, and we're all going to perish, are we not? All of us going to perish. Like sister said, her mother's 9 years old, and she was just she's been in bed, which God's brought her back and everything. She's been back to bed, health, good health. But it didn't matter if she went, because we know where she goes, where she's going, right? So why are we afraid of dying? Why are we trying to pick and choose how and when where we're going to die? As long as we're on the battlefield for our Lord, shouldn't matter. And you know, we used to sing, I'm a soldier on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm a soldier in the battle, in the army of the Lord. Now, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I, you know, it said, I will serve him till I die. You know, it said, some people going to die. Some of us going to get beat up. You know, when you're in the army, when you're in fight, you got to expect to get beat up. You may lose some limbs.
Yes, sir.
The main thing, you got to stand there and do your part. So that's when we're not afraid of losing our life, because we know where we're going to be. How many of y'all really believe you're going to heaven? How many of you want to choose when and how? How many of y'all think you should live, die in your bed, comfortable and stuff? Why would that be nice? Why would that be nice? Why do we figure that we got left? And I buy it, and then I lay in that bed and die of natural causes. Why?
Just because we seek the matter.
We you know why? Because we just have this natural tendency to think it's all supposed to be good. And since it's going to be good, I can just lay in bed.
For some. Yeah.
Don't you know, that's when Jesus said that man, remember the parable Jesus said about that man who was had plenty?
Yeah.
He had that dream, didn't he? He said, you know, he had so much that he said, you know what, I ain't giving to nobody. I'm build me bigger boy. I'm gonna keep this for me. I'm gonna lay down sleep. I'm gonna make sure I ain't never gonna have to worry about nothing. Boy, Jesus said, you fool. This day, your soul. And so, why are we trying to do that?
Right.
Why do we have it fixed in our brain that we're supposed to die comfortably in our bed? That's because we live in this modern world. We got a game plan. They told you go play with your retirement and everything. But you know what? I told people, I know about you, but I don't know about no retirement plan. God ain't never told me there's a retirement plan in that Bible. He said, I'm supposed to be always busy.
Right.
I got to be busy up until the time he called me home.
Couldn't
it
work?
Woo, Lord, have mercy.
It,
so we shouldn't be afraid of losing our life.
Man.
And don't we, how many of y'all believe a word about being loved by the world? How many of y'all want to be loved by the world? Come on now. How many of y'all want to be loved by the world? Come on. Don't nobody want to be worried about being loved by the world? Y'all, nobody. Okay. Thank you. Nobody want to worry about
it.
But I'm going to tell you. A real Christian is dangerous because of that very reason. We don't worry about being loved. You know how many people do all kinds of things just to be loved by the world? Blood love. You know, I mean, let's face it. How many of y'all get married because you want to be loved? Come on, y'all ain't gonna be honest. I got married because I thought that was about love, being loved. But first, I had to learn how to love myself. Once I found out to be loved, really in love, a good marriage, I had to learn how to love myself. And see, once I learned how to love myself, then I didn't matter. It didn't matter what the world thought of me, how they looked at me. Because even now, they say, you're kind of crazy, you're kind of weird. They take off bikini because I live a different lifestyle, because I believe the Bible says we're free If God said we were free indeed, so that means I'm free to share and speak those things which are profitable to others. The other folks don't want to see or say. Because on my job, I'm always asked a question being interrupting people. You know, they give a question, that's the first thing my hand goes up. I don't understand that. Can you further explain that? And see, that's what we don't do. We don't do enough of that, interacting with people so we can get to understand what they are dealing with. And being open to them, letting them know we're open to them to see what their needs are. We got to start loving the world, but loving it in a different way. Jesus said, that scripture you just read, a new commandment I give for you. What's that new commandment? That you love one another. Not as the world loves, but as I love. So it's not that we're not supposed to love. We're supposed to love the people in the world.
That's right.
See, we got to learn to love the people in the world. Again, how many of us love the things of the world? How many in a quarantine acquire a lot of things of this world? You know, the interesting thing, we live in capitalism. And most of us don't understand, capitalism is about things. The things of this world. What's the new latest fashion? Am I wearing it? Do I look good? Am I riding the right kind of shoes? Am I riding in the right kind of car? How my house look? What I got in it? That's what capitalism is about. Do I have the latest gadget? What kind of cell phone you got? Have you got Samsung 10 and Apple 10? See, they forever pushing these things of the world that we fall in love with and say, we're going to give our life to it. The pursuit of it. But you know what? A dangerous Christian is one who has faith. Real faith. Faith that allows you to do the impossible. Faith allows you to stop thinking there are limits on you because you look at yourself instead of saying looking at God. That's why I love the story of David. Woo! David said, oh yeah, everybody saw Goliath the giant. And I want y'all who are doing Bible study to go back and look at how big giant the Goliath was. They gave his dimensions of what his being, his spirit was, his sword. They talked about how it weighed and everything. Again, those weights are not for you. So again, this is a good chance for you to go back and do that what we've been trying to do. Talk about how tall Goliath was. Woo! And David said, he's a young man. He said, you know what? That's a big boy. Because everybody kept saying he's a big boy. You know, everybody agreed that not only was he big, but was he a champion. Hadn't been defeated.
They didn't want to
He realized what it was. But faith said, David, you can overcome. That's what makes you dangerous. David was dangerous because he believed in his God going to give him victory. That's what makes you dangerous as a Christian today. You shouldn't put limits on yourself because if you put limits on yourself, you put limits on God.
Hallelujah, man.
See, I never put limits. You know, I've been one of these people, I always thought outside the box. I see my God say, you're going to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't you know he says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly but all we ask, think, or believe? And I looked at that and I looked, took that statement to heart and said, all I think, ask, or believe?
That's right.
All above. Not something, but all above. Other words, whatever you think about God can do, he can exceed that.
That's right.
All. Does a bring me abundant but all we ask them. And see, a lot of times we don't want to put that to the test. We think, oh, limit of our young. But I dare you to. I dare you to start thinking exceedingly abundantly above all you ask, think, or believe. See, you wouldn't ask for a little bit, and God said, I'll give you more. A good example is Solomon. What did Solomon ask for? God said, Solomon, what do you want? Wisdom to guide your people. Woo! God loved that. God loved it. Because God didn't say, Solomon, you're going to be the wisest man that ever lived. Have more money than anybody. Ooh, anything. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, that's what I want us to understand. We're dangerous. We are dangerous. All that makes us dangerous. Don't you understand that? So you shouldn't go out here with fear.
No way.
In no situation and no circumstances.
That's right.
You should believe that you have the power of God with you.
That's right.
So you can, like Paul said, we can stomp on serpents. Woo! And not be poisoned.
You got that power.
See, if you believe it, it's a matter of your faith.
That's right.
I want to challenge each and every one of y'all, leave up out here with the understanding, with the chest out, head back, believing you're a dangerous Christian. Can you do that for me? How many of y'all are going to go out here with that attitude? I am a dangerous person. Walk with it like you are dangerous. Hey, you know how you know somebody know they're dangerous? Can't you perceive that, how somebody really is by the way they walk, by the way they talk? Now, ladies, I'm putting this. You want a wimp? You want some man going to walk on? Boy, aren't you looking at man who knows he's somebody? Going somewhere, God saying, hey, I got it together, baby. You know y'all want that. You know that, won't you? And a brother want a woman who knows she's a woman, right? She's a woman who got her stuff together, knows who she is, and what she's about. That's what it's about. And see, that's the same thing we as Christians should be. We should be walking out there in such a way that people see us and they know something about us. By the way we walk. I'm going to give you just one little example, then I'm closing. This is my last little story to tell you. I remember in I quit my job and decided I was going to become an entrepreneur, a businessman. And so with nothing but faith, I launched out. And I figured people are supposed to pay me money for the ideas and things I could do. I stepped out and people were paying me money. It's a project. People will spend me $150 an hour do consulting. Just because I show them and say, I can do that for you. And I remember one day, I was walking down San Jose, and I was suited and booted, like I said. And I was walking like I got my mom. I'm on my way to do some business, conduct business. Ain't got a pension. I ain't got no money at that time, but I'm walking like I got some. And you know how people downtown try to panhandle and stuff? They will hit you up for money. And so I stopped, and this one man, he was out there on the bench, and said, hey, can you loan me some money? He said, you look rich. I said, I am. You all will give me some money. I said, I ain't got no money, but my daddy does. And you know, I want to know who my daddy is? It's God. He's rich. I got a rich daddy.
Right.
That's not look like this. God got a rich daddy. I ain't got no money to give you, but I got a rich daddy. And I can let you know about him too. See, my daddy is rich.
Man.
And all his children flow with prosperity. And you gotta feel it. So, you know, we have a chance right now to change the world upside down. We have a chance by the way we are to change the world.
Turn it upside down.
I mean, I want all of us to go out here in this vineyard here.
It's harvest.
This little vineyard here. And turn this place upside down.
Got the power to.
We are seed planted here. And we should be a New Testament church going out there talking to people to change it and turn it upside down. I'm going to stop there. And again, I there was asking question, are you a dangerous Christian? But I want to say now, we are dangerous Christians. I want you now to understand, you're a dangerous Christian? You? 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 You, you're dangerous. And me. Ooh, look at this. How many of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14? 14 of us say, we're dangerous. And think what we as dangerous folks can do. We got to pray about it and get our faith on, and then we can walk it. I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to know that this series about a dangerous Christian will continue, because I want us to get the understanding that we dangerous. We are dangerous. Can you say it with me? Come on, say it with me.
We are dangerous.
Say it again.
We are dangerous.
Say it again.
We are dangerous.
All right.